I suppose what you expect tonight is a brief sermon, since you have to go back there and eat and whatnot. I hope you don't eat too much. Sunday night, you know, if you eat too much on Sunday night, you have difficulty sleeping. So I wouldn't like you to stay awake all night. I'll ask you now to turn in your Bibles back to the Old Testament, to the book of Jonah. You didn't have much difficulty finding that. If you don't know where it is, just go to the end of the Old Testament, turn back a few pages and you'll find it. The book of Jonah. About the only thing that some folk know about this is it's a story about a whale. But it's not the whale we want to speak about tonight, it's the man Jonah. Book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, Cast forth the weirs that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. They said every one to his fellow, Come. Let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? He said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. He said unto them, Take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from a raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered the sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. So the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. As the Lord have blessed to us the reading of the chapter, let us bow again for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word, and for the privilege afforded us in this country to be able to meet like this and open the scriptures and read them We thank Thee, O God, for the privilege of meeting together in safety. But we pray that what we've read tonight may abide with each of us, that we'll learn some lesson tonight that we'll carry with us throughout the days that lie before us. Bless each one here tonight. Bless each family circle represented. And bless those, perhaps, who would like to have been here and have been hindered. Bless them where they are. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. Now, there's not many of you here who attend the senior class in the morning. You're all at different classes. But throughout this past quarter, this present quarter, that's still studying it, it's been very interesting what our brethren have been bringing to us with regards to the subject of stewardship. It's been handled from a variety of angles, things pertaining to stewardship. One thing that is required of a steward is he must be faithful. You know, some jobs you go to today, if you wanted to be employed in a certain way, the person who's going to employ you will search into your character and they'll want to know, first of all, if you're trustworthy. If you worked someplace else before, they want to know what you were like there and why you're not there now and so on, etc., etc. A man once told me that when people come to him for a job and they bring along the letter, you know, recommending them, he says, I'm not interested in what it said on the letter, I'm interested in what it doesn't say. What it doesn't say. And what do you mean? Well, he said, you see, if a person has been consistently late in coming to their work, he said it wouldn't be right for that man to say, very faithful, always on time. It's not there. He just leaves that thing out, see? And you watch for the things that are not there. A steward has got to be faithful. But our brethren have been impressing upon us that in stewardship there are many aspects to it. Regards time, talent, and so on. In plain words, if you were to be given an assignment, it used to be that parents could give assignments to children. I've seen my father saying to us on a Friday night, now tomorrow morning after you have your breakfast, he didn't go to school on Saturday, and you say after breakfast tomorrow, you'll do this, and you'll do that, and you'll do something else. Well, we knew better than argue with him. If he said you had to do that, you knew you had to do that, and the quicker you got it done, the better for yourself. Because we had other things we wanted to do. We wanted to play the same, and if the school team was playing, we wanted to be there, and so on, etc., etc. But get up and get the job done, because if he came home and it wasn't done, you were in trouble. He gave the assignment, and you knew if you got your assignment, you better get it done. They tell me now if the parents give an assignment to a child, that child can just take the phone and dial, is it 911? And say, I'm being abused. Come to my rescue. How ridiculous, huh? An assignment, when it's given, if it's given with authority, you're supposed to accept that assignment and get it done. A steward, then, has got to be faithful and take the assignment. Now, when I come over here to the book of Jonah, I would write across the top of chapter 1, departure from duty. That's the real lesson of chapter 1. A man who departed from the line of duty. In the army, he would be called a deserter. And I know that where I was raised, we had soldiers there, thousands of them at a time billeted there. And occasionally we would get word, oh, somebody has deserted, they're out looking for them. Deserter. But they tell me if they got the deserter, woe betide them. They made it hard for them. In fact, I've heard in some countries they can be shot at dawn for deserting. Here's a man who deserted from duty, departed from the duty that was assigned him. Well, that's all right to read about that here. But how does that apply to us? What is its message for us? Now, perhaps you only thought that the four chapters of Jonah was simply a kind of story with a moral behind it. I want you to realize tonight it's the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ put his stamp upon this as being historically true. One day there were a crowd of people asked the Lord for a sign. They said, we want a sign. He says, no sign shall be given you except the sign of Jonah the prophet. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Again he said, behold, a greater than Jonah is here. See, the men of Nineveh would rise up in judgment against that generation because they repented of the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. That if the Lord put his stamp of approval upon the historical record of Jonah, you and I should accept it now as being the truth of God. It's here in the inspired Word of God. So don't look upon it as just a beautiful story giving some moral. That's not the idea. This is the record of historical fact regarding a man called Jonah and the city of Nineveh and the men who were the crew of the ship and so on. These are facts to be believed. That being so, I want you to think for a moment of this man called Jonah who departed from duty. The first picture then we have of the man is as a fleeing prophet. Oh yes, he was a prophet. You read of him in the book of Kings. This is not his first assignment. He had assignment, no doubt, to the nation of Israel, and he must have performed that well. But now God has given him another assignment which he didn't like. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Said, Jonah, get ready. Gird up yourself and go. I want you to go to that wicked city Nineveh as fast as you can and cry against Nineveh, that great city. Cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Can you imagine what an assignment for a man to go to a city? Suppose it was the city of Raleigh. And all of a sudden we heard that there was a strange man up on the Fayetteville Mall. He started there, and he walked right down the Fayetteville Mall. And he was crying against this wicked city and exposing all the wickedness, etc., 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 and telling them God was coming in judgment. A strange kind of character. They say, hey, we better get the police to that man and get him out of the way. Lock him up. He's disturbing the peace. Now, Jonah didn't like his assignment. Now, suppose God gave you an assignment. Would you accept it as from God, whatever the assignment was? We've all got an assignment of some kind. Mothers have an assignment. Their assignment is to look after the family, teach the family. Fathers have an assignment. Children who go to school have an assignment. The moment we profess to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an assignment. But do we like it? And do we submit to it? Here's a man who says he doesn't like his assignment, so I'm not going to do it. You can't say that he's a faithful steward and he got his assignment and turned his back on it. God says, go in that direction, go to this wicked city. Oh no, he said, I'm not going there, I'll go in the other direction. And he started to walk from Galilee. I suppose he walked, perhaps he trotted or ran, but he made his way right down the country, down the Mediterranean coast, and he went down to Joppa. You see, he's not only going to run away from where he is, he's going to run away from the country. He's going to get a ship, and he's going to go to Tarsus. Well, he had the strength all right. He arrived down at Joppa, and my, to his delight, there was a ship in dock at Joppa, ready to leave for Tarsus. My guarantee, he rubbed his hands with glee. Surely he's doing the right thing now. And he would inquire right there at the ticket office, what's the price? I want a ticket to Tarsus. No need in these days to get visas and passports and all that kind of thing. As long as you had the money and the ship was there, it was all right. And so there was a place for him. He had the money. He paid his fare. And my, he got him both. It's all right now. I don't need to go to Nineveh. I'm going straight to Tarsus. He is the fleeing prophet. Now remember the commission he received. The commission that man received was a personal call. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Not to his brother, if he had one. Not to his father. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. It was personal. And know, that's how God deals with us, you know. God deals with us as individuals. When you read a word, you say to yourself, what is this message for me? And when you listen to the preacher, you say, now, how does this affect me? See, it was a very personal call that came to Jonah. But it was very positive. Arise and go to Nineveh. He didn't just say, arise and get busy and do this. No, no. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh. It was very positive. See, God doesn't leave us in the mist. See, the assignment was very clear. It was very precise. When you get to Nineveh, cry against it. My, what an assignment. Now, I wonder why did Jonah resent this? Well, Nineveh, of course, was a Gentile city. And a very wicked Gentile city. And Jonah, of course, was a prophet of Israel. He didn't want to go beyond the confines of his own nation. He didn't mind taking an assignment to be a prophet to his own nation. He didn't mind that in the least. But no, to go to those Gentiles, that was against them. Another thing was this, Jonah seemed to know that God would be gracious to any people who repented. And here's what he's thinking. If I go to Nineveh and I cry against this wicked city, and they repent, then God will forgive them. Where's my reputation? What I'm saying about it, that it doesn't come to pass. And I'm discredited as a prophet. Didn't want that. And so he says, I'm not going. The fleeing prophet. Is it possible that God gives you and me an assignment, and we know it? We know what we're expected to do. We say, no, I just can't do that. I can't do it. Why not? Is it because you don't want to tell the truth to somebody? Or is it because you think that God is too gracious? You say, no, that's too hard a thing for me to do. I'm not going to do it. Let's face it. Take the course he chose. resigned from his responsibilities. And his responsibilities were given to him by God. That was his assignment. I've never forgot old man Widolus, who's Sunday school superintendent in a big Sunday school. The young lady came and said she was exercised about a class in the Sunday school. She wanted to be a Sunday school teacher. So he found a class for her all right. She got a place. And after some time she came to him one day and she said, look, I'm going to give up my class. He said, you're going to give up your class? Yeah, I can't take it any longer. I'm giving it up. He says, well, why come and tell me? He says, when you got your class, you said it was the Lord that was telling you you were to be a Sunday school teacher. If it was the Lord that gave you your class, have you told the Lord you've given it up? Tell the Lord you've given it up. Don't blame somebody else. An assignment. You see, here's a man who was resigning from his responsibilities. Now, if you and I are going to accept the responsibility, you can't resign from it just like that. Oh, of course, there are outstanding circumstances where a person may be sick, a person may be ill, circumstances come in their life where they're not able to carry it out. That's a different thing altogether. But simply to give it up, you can't do that. Get before the Lord and tell him. But Jonah resigned from his responsibilities. Worse than that, he rebelled against the word of God. He had the word of God, it came straight to him, telling him what he was to do. He rebelled against the word of God. This is serious business. I'll take this and apply it to myself, and you'll apply it to yourself. When you read something from the word of God, do you resent it? Do you resent something that the world says? You say, oh, well, I don't agree with that. That's only what Paul thought. No, my friend, you're rebelling against the word of God. What Paul and others wrote there, they wrote under inspiration of the Spirit of God. You don't pick and choose what you want to believe from the Bible. You either take it from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, or you don't take it at all. He rebelled against the word of God. In the day in which we live, there's an awful lot of rebellion against this book. Oh, it's too old-fashioned. And this language is out of date. No, it isn't. It's very much up to date. When it said all have sinned, it still says all have sinned. And that's very much up to date. And a lot of other things are up to date. The Bible is not out of date. He rebelled against the word of God, and he refused to agree with the will of God. I mentioned this morning at the 11 o'clock meeting that it has been well said that the will of God is the biggest subject in the Bible. Would you, my friend, refuse to agree with the will of God? Would you? That's what Jonah did. He resigned from his responsibilities, he rebelled against the word of God, and he refused to agree with the will of God. But now, after seeing him as a fleeing prophet, we see him as a paying passenger. He paid the fare. You know, he had more money in his pocket when he arrived at Joppa than what he had when the wheel put him back out on dry land. He was glad to get back out on dry land, no doubt. But all that money he had saved up, he spent it on a fare to go to Tarshish, and he never reached his destination. So, but he paid a fare all right. And now it reminds me of what the Word of God says. The way of transgressors is hard. It's an expensive thing to go against God's Word and to go against God's will. It costs a lot. Not only in the sense of money, but in the sense of character. and goodwill. It can ruin one for life. Jonah, the paying passenger, disobedience to the will of God will always be costly. Friend, let me ask you, have you been disobedient to the word of God? Is there something in that book that brings a message to you, but you've said, no, I am not going to accept that? I was in a home some time ago. There was a man came in, I'll never forget it. I was reminding my wife about it the other day. The couple that we were with in that home, an elderly couple, this man came to visit them that night. He had been the best man at their wedding, so he gave them a good reception. They hadn't seen him for a long time. And he wasn't long in when he said, now look, George, he said, I have something very special I want to tell you tonight. That's why I've come along to visit you. Something I've discovered, something I've found out. He says, what is it? So he went in his pocket and he took out some manuscripts. He said, I want to read you this. He hadn't read many verses when I realized what it was he had. He had come under the sway of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And this was a lot of their rubbish that he was reading. I let him go till I couldn't let him go any further. I said, Peter, just a minute. Just a minute, Peter. We've heard enough. I said, you've been reading now from these manuscripts. I'm going to read to you from a little book I've got in my pocket here. He said, what book? I said, never mind it now. I'll read you from this book. And I took out my testament. And I turned over to the book of Revelation. And I started to read these words about the great white throne judgment. And came down to the verse, and all whose names were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire, tormented day and night. In the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. All whose names were not found written in the book of life went into that lake of fire, to be tormented day and night forever and forever. I'll never forget that man. He rose off his chair. He took hold of his hair and he marched back and forward. He said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't. Will not make the word of God without effect. Rebelling against the word of God. He didn't want to go to hell or lake of fire or judgment to come. I believe that. He got caught in the mesh of the errors of the Jehovah's Witnesses. A lot of people like him. They will rebel against the word of God and they'll pay the fare. But now, you take him on board the ship. The third picture we have of him here, Jonah, as a sleeping preacher. Oh, many a person slept in the congregation, but you don't expect the preacher to fall asleep, do you? Huh? I know some preachers, they get upset and people in the audience, but I have told them there's no need to get excited or upset. If one falls asleep, you're to blame for it. If you can't keep them awake, or else it may be there's overpowering circumstances that you know nothing about. A person doesn't go to sleep unless there's some reason, some cause. But you don't expect a preacher to fall asleep. A preacher is to be wide awake. But here's a preacher, and he's sleeping. Everything else appears to be in his favor. The ship was there, he had the money to pay the fare, he got a good bunk down in the hold of the ship, and there he is, he's running away from his place of duty. But there's trouble brewing. There's a storm sprung up. There's a hurricane heading the ship. How that man slept at that time, I don't know. If ever you've been on a ship in the midst of a storm, it's one thing you can't do, you can't sleep. If you think the roof of your cabin's coming down to meet you, or you're going up to meet it, and you don't know the next minute whether you're going to be in your bunk or on the floor, it's not easy to sleep. In fact, it's not easy to sleep in the camp sometime. when some of these brethren that's with us here start snoring, you, I tell you, it's difficult even to sleep then. But he was a man in a storm. Things were upset around him. And he's sleeping while others were praying. It shows you what can happen when a man runs out of course with God. In the wrong place. Going to the wrong place. And asleep. When he ought to have been wide awake. The casting of the lots. God knows how to wake them up. The men came and said, "Hey, who are you? What country do you come from? How are you employed?" He told them. So they began to cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And by the way, it's not according to God's will for you and me to cast lots today. There's a better way than that today. You don't cast lots today to get a decision. But these were heathen men. In fact, the matter is very interesting. They spoke of God as Elohim, the great God. But after this experience with Jonah, they called him Jehovah. They had a personal experience with God then. The lot fell on Jonah, but there was a confession of his wrongdoing. What a day that must have been for that man to make open confession in the face of all those heathen men to tell them that he was a servant of the living God, that he had an assignment that he refused to take and was running away from God. That's the moment when he was restored, but he had to pass through serious troubles before he got back on dry land again and carried out his assignment. The lot fell on Jonah. Then the men came to the point they didn't want to cast him out. But he was to be cast out. At last they agreed. And they cast him out into the sea. And God had prepared a fish. And the fish enveloped Jonah. Some folk even believe that he died in that fish's belly. I don't believe that. But to him it was like death. If God hadn't come to his rescue, it would have been death. But down he went into the depths. And all God's waves and billows went over him. He couldn't deliver himself. That's the time when he said, "Salvation is of the Lord." Well, now, salvation was of the Lord for Jonah. Surely he could come to an agreement with God's will if God meant salvation to be also for the people of Nineveh. Why didn't he go to Nineveh? Why did he run away? Why is it sometimes we run away and we refuse to speak the truth to men and women who are perishing? If God has given us an assignment, we should carry out that assignment. But God took care of him even while he was in the fish. The man has said that even a fish couldn't stomach a backslider. It threw him out on dry land. And God gave him a second chance. Beloved, has there been times when God has given you the opportunity in an assignment to do something, and you refused to do it? You didn't want to do it. You thought, perhaps it'll offend them. If I speak to them about the Savior and tell them about the need of salvation, they might be offended. So you refused to do it. But the time came when God gave you the second chance. And if you continue to read through Jonah, "Go to Nineveh, and you'll preach in Nineveh the preaching that I shall tell you." And when he got to Nineveh, he carried on down through the streets of Nineveh, saying, "40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." He preached to them coming judgment, and they repented. From the ruler of the city, right down to the meanest man in the street. What a revival. And Jonah wasn't pleased. He wasn't pleased at all. Now, have you ever thought of this? Was Jonah's preaching carried out? Was Nineveh overthrown? Yes, it was, but not at that time. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, but they repented, and the overthrow of Nineveh was postponed till a later date. But Nineveh was overthrown. Now let us try and apply this to ourselves tonight. We see the act of God sending Jonah. And how he showed grace to Jonah in spite of his backsliding career. And God used him, put him back on the track, and sent him to Nineveh. We learn something about the will of God. God prepared a fish to look after Jonah. Later on, God prepared a gourd in order to shelter Jonah. And then God prepared a worm to eat up that gourd and make it wither. You see, God's will is seen throughout the whole book of Jonah. It's the will of God. Now, are we prepared as believers to submit ourselves to the will of God at all times? Are we prepared to carry out the word of God as it dictated in this book? If so, then the blessing of God is our portion. It's 4:15. Let's pray, and after we finish, you go right through that door, right back to the fellowship room. And don't all rush at once, of course, but don't waste time. Because the quicker you get through there, the quicker you get eating, the quicker you get home. What is it, Bobby?
They're not quite ready, so we rush too much. Otherwise, they're not quite ready.
So stay in the where?
Yeah. Well, we're a little more than
you. You go up now, it's 8:15. And I'll pray, and Bobby will have a hymn, and we'll just sing a hymn, and then we'll go up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence now, and we thank thee for a wonderful day we've had here, and the opportunity of meeting tonight to remember the Lord. We pray for those who are in here this morning. Oh God, be with them now where they are, and grant that we may discharge our responsibilities towards people coming in here, that they'll know there's a Savior who is mighty to save, and may some folk learn how to trust him. Remember us very specially now in the little time of fellowship we'll have in conversation together. Remember those who have come through high school, and some who are now leaving home shortly to go away to other towns in order to further their studies. God, we pray thy blessings to be upon them. Grant, O God, they'll know thy hand with them day by day. Protect them from every temptation. And grant that they grow up to be men and women with a sterling Christian character. Now we give thee thanks for the refreshments that have been prepared. And grant, O God, that we may enjoy them and take them to thy glory. We ask these things in the Savior's precious name. Amen. And Bobby might have a hymn.